Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 Chicago without a live studio audience, but the show will go on indeed. And we have exciting things to share with you as always on our Monday Motivation with Rabbi Garfinkel podcast. But before that, we'd like to just tell you how amazing our launch party was. The transition from Project 613 to Olami 613. It rhymes. You like the way that rhymes just right off the tongue? Olami 613. We will accept people calling it Olami 613. That's fine, because we have branded it previously as Project 613. But either way, the 613 remains. And that is the number of mitzvahs, of commandments in the Torah, 365 do nots, don'ts, thou shalt nots, and 248 thou shalts. And that is how we roll, folks. Those are the guidelines, the mojo, feng shui. But really, the Jewish law, the halakha, which means the way, the path. And this is our path for success in this world. Sadly, by the way, I don't know, fun fact, there's only about 270 of them. Don't worry, they'll keep you very busy. There's 270 of them that we can do today. Many of them deal with laws of the temple, certain animal rituals and offerings that were brought, and other mitzvahs in Israel that hopefully we'll be able to do soon. So about 270 that are still left for us to do. But don't worry, they keep us very, very busy. So that is one very exciting thing about the rebrand, is that we keep the 613, because that is our core, that is our essence, that's why we do what we do in Jewish education. We had a fantastic opening party, the launch party this past Wednesday, 20, 30 something plus people there for an absolutely incredible evening on a beautiful rooftop deck of a very fancy, swanky condo downtown, right on the river. And it was incredible, great vibes. You will be seeing the pictures hitting social media shortly and probably dominating our social media this week. It was incredible, great vibe. And I actually was very funny. Several people came up to me and they're like, Rabbi, I thought you were Olami. Which is a great sign that it's a very organic and natural transition, because honestly, our Olami Sold program, we run an Olami mentorship, we run as well. Now, this Wednesday coming up, we have a very exciting taste of mentorship. It's a mentorship night out, and it is going to be at a really nice restaurant, and we're getting about 30 mentors and about 30 Jewish young professionals out at this restaurant, and we are going to be eating, celebrating the existing mentorship that has happened, and then also bringing in prospective mentees as well. It should be really quite remarkable. So if you know any Jewish young professional who would like to taste mentorship, no commitment. I know, Rabbi, it's hard to commit. Okay, please come check it out and message me. All right, so now we have an exciting podcast for you tonight, and it is called Public Enemy Number One. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da milchama alay ve'echam, when you will go out to war against your enemy. Okay, so ostensibly, as we mentioned before, the Torah is not only a book about personal stuff, although ironically, this is a very personal message tonight. It's also about war, and it's also about the national life of the Jewish people. And sadly, war and conflict with other nations is part and parcel. So how do you do war? How do you do war? Okay, when you go out to war against your enemy, unsano Hashem elokecha biyadecha Vishavisa Shavio, and Hashem will give them over to you, and you will capture captivity. Okay? And this gets a little steamy over here, folks. Vereisa Bashivio, you will see among the captives, Ashes Yafastoar, a very beautiful non-Jewish woman. Dana, the plot thickens. And you go over to her and say, would you like to study the Talmud? No, that's not what happens. V'chashach tava. And this Jewish soldier has a desire for her. V'lakachta l'chala isha. You take her as a wife. Oh my goodness. What is happening over here? It's actually a fascinating piece of Talmud in Kiddushin. A machlokas Rashi in Tosvos. If he actually is able to be with her intimately at that moment, and then only then we'll see what happens. He brings her to the house. Ve'isa el toch betecha. Ve'gilcha. He brings her into his house. Then ve'gilcha's rosha. He's got a shaver head. It's a good old Sinead O'Connor, for those who know the reference. All the people who are like 45 and above are laughing, and anyone below 45 is like, who's Sinead O'Connor? But anyway, that's the idea of asasasi pranan. You gotta clip her fingernails, and then vehisira simlas shivya. These non-Jewish women would dress up really nicely, fancy during times of battle to seduce the Jewish soldiers. You have to take that off. Vayashva vaysecha. Okay, and you shall sit in your home. Uvak says avia shall be crying for her father and mother a month, and then you can go and make her your wife. Okay, I cut out a bunch of stuff. So the whole idea over here is really how to deal with this overwhelming desire that a Jewish soldier will have in the heat of battle, when the emotions and passions are raging. How do you control that? And just to finish up the machlokas, the disagreement between Tosas and Rashi in the Gemara and Kiddushin, how this goes down. And Rashi says that, no, you're not allowed to be with her, but just having the thought of being with her later is enough to cool his jets. Where Tosas says, no, absolutely not. He absolutely is, the Torah is allowing him to have, to give in, as it were, to the lower forces within him, and then be able to have this time period to cool off. So what is going on here? The whole goal of this entire time is to put the brakes on what we call the Yetzer Hara. And this whole ritual of 30 days and shaving her head and growing her nails out and then taking off her fancy dress and putting on very plain clothing is to get this guy to wake up and say, this is not a long-term move, dude. This is not in your best interest long-term. We take away her beauty, shave her head, long nails now are in. Back then, I guess they weren't a thing. And take off her, bright red dress and put on a potato sack. And like, is this woman really worth it? And then, God willing, he will have cooled his jets and decide at that point not to marry her, and she would be able to leave. Now, that is the what is going on here. I will tread lightly on this subject, but the Torah recognizes a certain animalism in the time of war, and depending on your Rashi and Tosfos, how we understand what exactly is allowed here in the Torah. But nevertheless, that is a reality. And I tread very lightly on this. But you see what animalism can come about in the time of war. If you look at October 7th, those human animals who, the most vicious people, shame on the world that you support them. Shame on the world that they support these beasts and monsters who came in and did what they did to the Jewish women. Shame on them. Shame on everyone who defends them. Okay, I could do 10 podcasts on that, which I've done some already. But that's what we're talking about over here. that primal desire, that animalistic passion? How are you going to deal with it? And the Torah says that your goal is to stall, to wait. And through this time of waiting is to throw a bone to the passion. Okay? Either it's the thought of eventually being able to marry this woman or the initial act, but then having to wait 30 days. But either way, the goal is to put a pause on this and to wait. Now, the rabbis describe that what is this battle? This battle, ki tzeitzei l'milchama oloivecha, is not only a national law for the Jewish people, especially with the army going out and fighting, and how do you interact with the enemies and the enemy's women. But it is also an instructive to each individual Jew throughout his or her life. Because when we are going out to the war is everyday life where there are challenges and temptations. And that is our charge. We have to go out to war. We do not sit on a mountaintop and meditate all day. That is not the ideal Jewish approach to life. That we go out into the world, but we have to go in like a warrior expecting booby traps and prepared. And the question is, who is this enemy? If we're not talking in a national context of war, who is this enemy that we are going to do battle with? And the enemy is called the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. Now, Christianity goes off and totally blows this. They totally don't understand this. They believe that, you know, that there's this, you know, World Wrestling Federation match between God and Satan, and they're both basically mano a mano, and ding, 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 in this corner we have the Almighty, and in this corner, ding, 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 we have the great Satan, all right, and their two powers are going after each other. It is totally wrong. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. In fact, it comes from certain dualism, could be even Zoroastrianism. This is where JC got it from. Okay, the bottom line is that there is only one God. We say that in the Shema. And evil, what we call evil, God allows for evil to exist in this world to be able to challenge us. That is why evil exists. Evil, this Yetzer Hara, is something that is inside of each of us. Initially, we've said here, I believe, over the years, that initially this force was outside of us, as symbolized by this snake in the Garden of Eden. It was outside of us. There was no burning desire to eat that chocolate cake or to fill in the blank. It was an external force. But after Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, ate from that fruit, they ingested and brought inside of themselves this force. This force for negativity, this force to push us to choose the wrong thing, the animalistic thing. And then the rest of human history in which we find ourselves today is now the battle of of us versus public enemy number one, and really personal enemy number one, the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, is in each and every one of us. And it's there for a purpose. It is our spiritual sparring partner. And people think that the greater they get, the smaller the Yetzer Hara is. It's just the opposite. It's like in boxing, you have a lightweight, a featherweight, has a featherweight, right? Sparring partner. You move up to welterweight, and then you're if you have this still featherweight sparring partner, that's not a sparring partner. That doesn't challenge you. So your Yetzer Hara gets stronger and it gets to a welterweight, and you go to a light heavyweight and the Yetzer Hara becomes bigger as well, until you're finally a super heavyweight, and then your Yetzer Hara is a super heavyweight, because that is what a sparring partner is. And what is a sparring partner? It's to bring out our greatness. It is to bring out our greatness. And that is the challenge that we have, every human being, particularly Jews now, when we're coming in this month of Elul towards Rosh Hashanah. We are in the ring daily with this sparring partner. And where does this come up? This comes up with expressing our anger when we know that we shouldn't get angry about things. Okay, this comes up in our relationships of how much patience we're supposed to have. This comes up with, oh, I don't know if your favorite sports team loses and you're about to throw your shoe at the television. It comes up in terms of how giving we are. Our neshama wants to give tzedakah. Our yetzahara says, no, don't give it. Don't give it. Keep it all for yourself. Don't be generous. What you're gonna put yourself in the poorhouse. Okay? And through every midah, every character trait, and every scenario, you will have that voice of negativity drawing you down, drawing us down to the maximum animalistic, selfish behavior. And the Torah says, no. When you go out to fight the war against your enemy, Unsano Hashem Elokecha B'yadecha, that's when you turn to the Almighty, and it's Hashem, the divine assistance. He is going to be the one to help you beat your Yetzirah. The Gemara in Kedushin says that without Hashem's help, we would not be able to best our Yetzirah. And therefore, this is part of our prayers. Part of our prayers is to do the right thing, is to ask Hashem Almighty to be able to overcome these challenges. And folks, there's no accident the rabbis point out that every year, right coming up before Rosh Hashanah, we read this Torah portion to remind us of the daily, minutely, hourly battle that we have within ourselves. And there is nothing wrong with this battle. And in fact, this battle is what makes us great. If you want to know what makes us great, it is engaging in this Yetzer Hara, with this evil inclination, this public enemy number one, and being able to push it off. Now, a few strategies, the Torah gives us one here, is that we delay. You know, in basketball, when a team is up towards the end of the game, they put on their slow down offense, right? They want to run the clock down. Also, other sport, football, they also, any sport with a clock, you try to run the clock down. That's one of the strategies with the Yetzirah. Is then this is what the Torah says, no, you'll have her in a month. Just wait. Let the passions cool. So many times, if there's a challenge, beat whatever it is, say, Yetzirah, don't worry. We can have it later. We can have it in an hour. Anyone on a diet knows, right? You can have the food. Just wait an hour. Wait 2 hours. And many times, that will cool your jets to be able to do it. Okay, also, the Torah helps us in terms of the Yetzirah. It gives us mitzvahs to be able to circumscribe and to limit its effect in terms of there are specific things that we're supposed to look at and certain things we're not supposed to look at. We talked about in the podcast a few weeks ago. I don't want to ruin everyone's entertainment, but, you know, it is before Rosh Hashanah. But, I mean, I can't imagine there's much on Netflix that's okay to watch. Certainly the movies nowadays, I haven't seen that in a movie theater, I don't know how long. I can't even imagine this. Okay? Because the Torah says the more you're going to watch that and be involved in that, the more it's going to rile up everyone's Yetzer Hara and make it more powerful and more difficult to withstand. Okay? And everyone, men and women, have different Yetzer Haras, different areas in which are more challenging for them. Many times women have a more, I know this is controversial, might have a greater challenge in terms of comparing what one has to the other. I know men do this as well. Wherever your area of challenge is, that is what we are supposed to be working on right now before Rosh Hashanah, in this month of Elul. And that is our greatness. Our greatness is not in having an easy life that just sails through. Now, God willing, we'll all have money, we'll all have health, and all the good and sweet things. It's wonderful. But we all know that every day we come up with challenges, personal challenges, and the way that we overcome them ultimately is to daven, is to pray to the Almighty and know that this is why we're put on planet Earth. This is not something that's extraneous. The Mesillas Yesharim, the Path of the Just, says this is one of the main reasons why God put us on planet Earth, is for us to stand up to the challenges of the Yetzer Hara. So as we enter into this Rosh Hashanah season, may we all recognize that these challenges are not only normal, this is why we were put on planet Earth. And may we all turn to the Almighty and daven, pray for our success and encourage one another to be successful in the most important battle, the battle against public enemy number one. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we look forward to seeing you again right back here for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.